Brian Lara on WNYC. And by the way, some of you may be interested in my television show tonight, where we will play the video of that John Edwards ad we were talking about pertaining to Hillary Clinton. We'll also play the Clinton campaign's video response. That's tonight at 7:30 on CUNY TV, Channel 75, on the New York City cable systems. And yesterday, New York Magazine announced that it will no longer run ads for sex services. The New York chapter of the National Organization for Women had threatened street protests, and we had had them on the show where they tried to make the case that those ads support sex trafficking networks. So is this a sign that the women's movement isn't finished yet, even with Hillary Clinton as the Democratic frontrunner and Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House, that there is further to go? I think my next guest would answer yes to that question. Liz Abzug, president and co-founder of the Bella Abzug Leadership Institute, and Jaron Alam, president of the Hunter Women's Rights Coalition, are taking part in a conference at Hunter College this weekend called Freedom on Our Terms, from Houston 1977 to New York 2007. See, 30 years ago, Houston 1977, over 20,000 people attended the National Women's Conference to set an agenda for equal rights. This weekend, the task is to create an agenda for the 21st century. And so, Liz Abzug, Jaron Alam, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Liz, your organization, the Bella Abzug Leadership Institute, named after your mom, is sponsoring this conference along with Girls Speak Out. Does that make a meeting of the second and third wave feminists in a way?
Yeah, it's we're taking the lead, actually, Brian, on forming this this conference. And yes, it means that not only first looking back at the first generation, the second wave, and the third wave, but the next wave of young feminists, we're going to be looking forward. And this is a truly intergenerational conference. I mean, when I conceptualized it with a small group last fall, we've been working on this all year. That was really an adamant feeling that I had, that we have to charge up the younger women, bring forth a context of what happened 30 years ago at Houston, where there were 20,000 people there, 2,000 elected delegates, and to really explain it to women who weren't there and younger women that we have not only, we're not finished yet, Brian, but we have a long way to go to reach a full equity rights agenda for women and girls.
And we can take a few phone calls for our guests. What women's issues matter to you going forward from 2007? Any young feminists out there, what are you agitating for or thinking about? Or anyone who doesn't describe yourself as a feminist but still think that there are issues pertaining to women's rights that need to be addressed? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment on our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Jaron Alam, you know, it might raise some people's hackles. I'm sure there are people listening out there just to this little bit that we've done so far thinking, oh, yeah, right, a small group of activists getting together thinking they can set the agenda for all of society or even speak for all women. What would you say to them?
I would say this is very, very diverse. As Liz mentioned, not only is it intergenerational, there are women from all different economic, ethnic, political backgrounds. This is going to be very democratic, which to me is what the feminist movement is about, equality. So there will be, you know, pro-choice, pro-life, just women from all different political opinions. And, I mean, we're not, I think we are in a good position to try to set this agenda because we will have the planks from 30 years ago. And we have women who are there, women who are 70s, and older, and young girls and boys who are in junior high and high school.
Now, it's interesting when you talk about the planks from 30 years ago. I have the list here of 25 different...
26, Brian.
26. Okay. Yeah. I think I guess I have 25 of them. I'm going to read real fast. Most of them are one or two words, so I'm just going to read real fast down this list and ask you to tell me how many new planks, new topics you think are required for 2007. So you had arts and humanities, battered women, child abuse, child care, credit, disabled women, education, elective and appointive office, employment, the Equal Rights Amendment, health, homemakers, insurance, international affairs, media, minority women, offenders, older women, rape, reproductive freedom, rural women, sexual preference, statistics, welfare, and a continuing committee of the conference, whatever that means. So so you think it would be pretty much the same list or kind of different?
You know what? Every one of those issues that you've talked about are going to be addressed at this conference consciously.
That's the kitchen sink when I read them all together.
No. You know what? If you look at it, it affects all phases of women's and girls' lives, and it is an agenda that is not only relevant 30 years ago, but couldn't be more relevant today going forward.
Anything new?
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a big discussion of men and feminism, how they feel towards feminism, feminist men. There's going to be a whole big discussion on queering the lines about LGBTQ issues, which is going to be a lot more advanced, as you know, 30 years forward from 77. There's going to be a whole talk about sex trafficking, prostitution, new media, old media, which we didn't have back in the 77, new media, how mm-hmm. women are portrayed on new media. And by the way, let me just also say there are already 400 women and girls pre-registered for this conference from around 21 states from around the country. So this is hardly a narrow perspective of the women's girls empowerment movement. And we have girls who are 13 years and up, many, 100 of them coming or more. And so these young girls are going to see a framework, you know, with their mothers, without their mothers, coming with their schools, mm-hmm. that we want to get to the youngest and earliest so that people can, you know, we can break down the stigmas that boys and girls have.
Jessica in Hempstead, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, wow. Thanks for taking my call. So I just wanted to say I'm 26 years old. I strongly consider myself a feminist. And when I was in college, I was very concerned with issues, objectification of women, gay rights, abortion rights. I think those are really important, and we still have a long way to go on them. But I do think that the big issue that women have to look at now is taking a look outside our own communities and looking at women globally and saying what's going on in fundamentalist Muslim communities, for instance. And when I walk around New York and see women covered head to toe. That's in our country. That's in our society. So, I think mm-hmm.
That's an emerging issue for you. Jaron Alam, is that an issue for you?
I'm so glad, Jessica, you brought that up because we're going to have a panel that talks about feminism in a global scale. And I'm also glad you brought up the whole issue of the Muslim women wearing hijab, because that is something we're going to discuss as well. Surprisingly, some of these women are feminists. This is a choice that they make to cover themselves. So I think that'll be a very interesting panel.
And there are women in this country, middle class, upper middle class, women who say, well, I'm a feminist, and the choice that I make is to stay home with my children and not go back to the workplace. And sometimes they take some hits from other feminists for that. So these are not always black and white issues.
Right, but the choice is, the whole premise of the feminist movement is started by my mother, Gloria, and Shirley Chisholm and others in the second wave in the 70s, was the whole notion of feminism is the personal choice.
Yeah.
All right?
Right, but there have been two books recently. We've had both authors on the show talking about how the choice to stay home may appear like a choice to somebody, but it's not really a choice. It's a choice determined by, you know, the coercive structures of society.
Yeah, well, if we had a better child care system in this country, Brian, we wouldn't be having such a problem with that choice, would we?
Liz in Rumson, you're on WNYC. Hi, Liz.
Hi. I just wanted to bring up some point about, I think they need to get somebody within the group that the kids actually watch that they can reach out to.
Well, can I just say, I agree with you 100%, and to that point, Legally Blonde, who came on late as a sponsor, they came to us to say they'd like the Legally Blonde, the musical. One of their chief actresses who played one of the chief lawyers, Vivian, is coming to speak to the all-girls panel, which we're having. So I think that that's going to be a very interesting, because it's going to be all girls running the panel, and the girls are 13 years up and up. And she's going to have, you know, come in there by her own. She's been very excited, this actress, to talk about what she sees.
Liz, the caller, you have daughters?
Yes, I have a 14-year-old and 12-year-old, and they really think it's a joke, and they don't get that women have, you know, made such a sacrifice. And when I say something to them, of course, they're not going to listen to me because I'm their mother.
That's why you should bring them to the conference, because they can listen to the other 13 and 14 and 15 and 18-year-old girls and women and hear about what they think.
Right. I guess, but my point is that maybe in the future you could try to get people that, you know, from the mainstream media, from, you know, MTV, from
And you know what? You're right. And we have those people coming. We have corporate young women. We've got media people going to, you know, Inside Edition and lots of people interested in covering that.
So, Liz, the caller again, do you think that, well, how would your daughters react to the word feminism?
They would think that it was something archaic.
Something archaic. But
yeah.
If you went down the values that our guests have been talking about this morning, you think they'd agree pretty much down the line?
They'd agree, but it's the word, I believe, that the younger generation thinks that it's something wacky and out there and crunchy and granola, and they're not there right now.
May I say something? I'm a professor of urban studies and American studies at Columbia University Barnard College, and at this moment, in fact, I'm leaving shortly after this radio interview to teach my class on women in leadership, and they're all girls who are sophomores and juniors and seniors in college. And one of the first things we talk about in this class, and we talked about, was this word, the concern about the word feminism. And basically what we talk about, I say, peel it back. You don't want to call it feminism. You want to call it women's rights. You want to call it womanism. You want to call it human rights. Feminism, women's rights are human rights, and it applies to girls, too. And this lets debunk the stigma that's associated to that word, and that, you know, I don't care what you call it, we still have a lot of way to go in a you know, reaching equal rights for women and girls.
Michael in Queens, you're on WNYC with Liz Abzug and Jaron Alam.
Hi. While I wish you luck on your conference, I want to speak to the recent pressure put on magazines to not carry ads, and I just feel that that's not a direction that your organization ought to spend time in. There's issues of human trafficking, of girls being subjected in third world countries, and even here too with in slave labor. Those are more real issues. I think if a person chooses to advertise their service, be it massage, sensual massage, or just straight out sex,
also gets to the question of what choice is. I know that the New York City chapter of NOW says only 15% of prostitution could be considered by choice. The rest is trafficking. And that's, I don't know, Jaron Alam, if you consider any prostitution by choice, but do you have a thought about that New York Magazine announcement yesterday that it will no longer run ads for any sex, I guess what they call sex services, because they're afraid that those ads support sex trafficking networks?
Michael said that he thinks sex trafficking is a big problem, and Now NYC believed that these ads were supporting human trafficking. So I think it makes sense for them to ask that those ads are pulled. I think prostitution is a very interesting issue. I personally think it should be legalized, so there are more protections for women. Where I think in Amsterdam they have a panic button, they have more sanitary conditions. Whether or not it's a choice, I'm not surprised if that figure for 15% is correct. However, just as Liz said, I think it should be a choice. If a woman wants to earn money selling her body, that should be her decision.
All right. We will have to leave it there. Liz Abzug, president and co-founder of the Bella Abzug Leadership Institute, and Jaron Alam, president of the Hunter Women's Rights Coalition, on this weekend's conference at Hunter College, Freedom on Our Terms, from Houston 1977 to New York 2007. The event, you can find out more about it at abzuginstitute.com. www.brianlehrer.org, or we have a link on our webpage at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, what's right about those new school report cards, even though some great schools got bad grades? Stay with us.